exciting is this? You know, it's raining outside. Well, it looks like it's going to rain. You know, it's Trinity Sunday. We've got the installation of Pastor David coming up, and it's a busy Sunday, and I kind of like that. I don't know about you all, but I think it's pretty exciting. So, if you don't know my name, he may have said it already, but I like to go by Ari. And first off, I would like to say how much I love Nicodemus. Nicodemus, my mom always gets confused by my favorites in the Bible. I mean, I think we can all agree that Jesus is kind of top-notch, you know, like, he's a pretty big deal. We all love Jesus. But for me, I have the three P's. Peter, Paul, and Pontius Pilate. And then I have, like, this little subcategory of Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, and King Darius. And once you hear Pontius Pilate and go down the line from there, it gets a little bit confusing. My mom would always be like, I don't know if I agree with that. But to me, I love them because they've all realized what I like to call our graceful mistakes. Our endlessly forgivable mistakes and the ability to try and fix them. And I think that's a pretty important thing to realize. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, as we heard, and a pretty important one too, if I'm not mistaken, because he was a leader of the Jews, which all Pharisees kind of have their own group up there. And if you remember my sermon last year, I talked a bit about the Pharisees being these guys in white robes that liked to strut around town and having all these ideas that they knew how things worked. They knew everything. I mean, they had an important job. They were mediators for, you know, the Jews and the Romans. But, you know, their noses were in the air. You know, but Nicodemus was different. He saw this Jesus who had come into town, and all these other Pharisees were like, he's telling us we're wrong, we're upset, we got to do something about him. But Nicodemus didn't see it that way. He wondered, this man is performing all these miracles. I've never seen anybody do something like this. Surely there must be something more than meets the eye. So he came to Jesus at night, because he knew his peers might disapprove of his actions. Interesting time. I wouldn't open the door at that late at night, in my opinion. But hey, you know, Jesus was a very welcoming man. Now, I don't think Nicodemus would have survived high school having just graduated myself. Because looking back, I see a lot of Pharisees in my graduating class and not as many Nicodemuses as there should be. When I say this, I mean there's two ways you can look at life. There's the Pharisee view and the Nicodemus view. And for a bunch of punky 18-year-olds, I saw a lot of Pharisees, these people that kind of stuck their nose in the air like, yeah, I think I know everything. I'm pretty good at this by now. I'm 17. I don't even know how to properly make a salad. I discovered this last week. I'm not kidding. So I can definitely say that I don't know how everything works. And yet, that's how it was. There was this one girl that I was thinking about it on the car ride here today. I talked about her last year as well, but I'm kind of glad I met her because without her, I would not have much to talk about. I wouldn't be up here. But she would come to the lunch table every day, and she would just slam her hands down on it and be like, this day has just been the absolute worst. I'm paraphrasing, there was a lot more than that. And then go on for another 5 minutes as to why her life was terrible. And I gotta say, I think I've heard worse stories. I mean, we all have. But, you know, sometimes I often wondered if there was ever a day she would sit down at the lunch table and say, hey, guys, isn't it beautiful weather out there? My life is great. This thing just happened. I just got a new job, or I got an A on this quiz. Find something positive about the day. You know, if it's raining, the grass is getting water. If there's lightning, they're going to be brighter tomorrow. You know, there's so many things you could pull out of nature or pull out of the day to make it brighter. But she refused to do that. She refused to wonder what about her day was going right. She refused to allow herself to be surrounded with all the wonder that this world has to offer us. Now, one of the things that I love about the reading we just heard was when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe in heavenly things?" This girl was a bit of a know-it-all, if I was to be honest. You know, she thought that she had the right idea. We have a terrible world, terrible stuff goes on in it, and there is nothing brighter to look up at, so I'm just going to keep looking at my shoes. These are actually a pretty cute pair of shoes. I think I'm going to comfortably keep my head down here because there's nothing to look up to. Unless, you know, you're like, yeah, I know this. You know, you're going to stick your nose up. There's a difference between sticking your nose up and looking up. Because to me, what Jesus is saying is, if you can't believe in the earthly things, if you can't see what's around you, like the wonders in the world that Nicodemus had come to Jesus to inquire about, these wonders he had performed, well, how can you believe in earthly things if you can't even look up at the sky? How can we believe in a heaven, in a God, in a better future, in a better day, in ourselves, if we can't even look up at the sky, whatever it has in it to offer us? There are so many things we could look at. We just have to wonder and immerse ourselves in that sense of wonder. You're going to get sick of that word by the end of the sermon, I swear. But, you know, I think we all lose our sense of wonder at one point or another. I mean, it's easy to be pessimists these days, and I myself can testify that I have lost my sense of wonder every now and then. We all have those days. But if I recall, I think it was a few months ago, my mother and I went to Bible study one day, and Catherine will remember this with me. We spent the entire Bible study experience studying Aaron and Moses. I got so sick of it after a while. But one of the days we went over how Aaron and Moses just fell on their faces before the Lord, our God, who had done all these wonderful things. And I just think that's a powerful image. I mean, I fall on my face all the time, just not on purpose, you know? But, you know, in Bible study, one of my mom's group leaders asked, all right, when's the time that you or someone you've known has fallen on their face before God? And my mom brought up me, because that very night before we went into the church, I had closed the car door, and I looked up at the sky, and I went, Mom, look, I can see Orion. It's my favorite constellation. Living in Michigan, we live by a lot of water, so we often get cloudy skies at night. So when I saw those bright balls of hot gas in our galaxy just shining so bright, I got so excited and filled with this joy and filled with this wonder and gratefulness that the Lord would bless me with such a simple thing to be happy about. It seems a little silly, but sometimes we can find that wonder and joy in the smallest of things. So my mom brought me up for that. It's kind of a running theme for me, stars and light. I'm not sure why, but another thing I can think of is when my first mission trip was down at the ELCA gathering in New Orleans. Wonderful experience, really, really hot. And one of the speakers had us take out our phones one night and turn them on and wave them in the air. And each light on each phone, and there were like a couple thousand people there. Wow, I was wrong. There were a couple. I was thinking like 7,000 something. Nope, 40,000 people. Waving their phones in the air all these years. Waving their phones in the air. And each light represented a light that the person had inside of them. And it brought to me a realization that every single person on this earth that has ever lived or ever will live had a light inside of them. Sometimes they're tattered and abused, sometimes they're hidden for whatever reason, and sometimes we choose to bury them. You know, and sometimes it's like, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. You know, it's all up to you, but sometimes the factors in the world around us can hurt it a little bit. But the fact is, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, there's something there. And that fact has gotten me through the darkest pits of my life. That there is a light out there. There is a hope. There is a wonder. There is a good thing in every single person, like that girl I mentioned earlier. Look at me. I was up here and I made a sermon plot point because of her. There was something good. You know, there's always a light. There's always something to immerse yourself in wonder of. And I am constantly in the wonder of people. But there will always be people who are never going to look up at the sky because they're too busy digging their own comfy little hole. We all know those people, and maybe there's a time where you've been like that, you know, just digging deeper and deeper and getting further and further from the light and from the sky and from all the wonders this world around you has to offer. So while it may be hard sometimes to recognize the wonders that we have around us, while it may be hard sometimes to let that little light be more exposed, there's always something to look for, even when we are in our darkest moments. And when we see other people, you know, digging their own holes because they just can't bring themselves to look up, all we can do is stretch our hands out to them. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night in wonder, asking, how do you do these things? Surely there must be more than what these other Pharisees are saying. Surely these miracles can't be just illusions. There's got to be something here. It's a really interesting universal physical stance we take when we wonder about things in sitcoms, or, you know, maybe even sometimes when you're thinking to yourself, you go like, oh, I wonder why that is. Well, think of it this way. This isn't too far from this. We come to God with our questions, and we come to him to thank him for blessings. Amen.
Now let's join our youth. We're gonna have a movie of their wonder at Psalm 29, so we get to experience that together from their paraphrase of Psalm 29.
The voice of the Lord is wondrous, filling his people with curiosity to learn more. I wonder what David felt when he said, "The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare." I wonder what it would look like to see a nation skip like a calf. I wonder what it would be like to see God thunder over the waters or break the cedars. It brings to mind the song, "I Could Only Imagine," when it says, "Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall?" The thought is wondrous. I wonder what it's like to feel the voice of the Lord in its power, to have it thunder and shake the desert, to have it twist the oaks and break the cedars. The voice of the Lord is wondrous, instilling a sense of amazement and awe that brings his people to their knees. The voice of the Lord tells me to live through the leaves. The voice of the Lord calms me. His truth and love are so amazing. His name deserves to be glorified. The voice of the Lord can be seen, felt, and heard in all of his majestic creation. We have but to look, feel, and hear what is around us to know that God is present. The voice of the Lord can whisper in the wind, but just the same, it can roar like the seas, grand and universal. Everything in the universe, the stars, the planets, the mountains, the oceans, the trees, is made with precision. The world is screaming with beauty. For this reason, I'm convinced that there is a God who loves us very much. The Lord is King forever.